This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN1290.ca. In the NHL arbitration system, there are two separate yet equally important groups. The agents who represent the players and the general managers who represent the team. These are their negotiations.
1 hour down, 1 hour to go. Welcome back to Illegal Curve Arbitration Edition here on TSN 1290. For the next three segments, we're going to be doing mock arbitration cases for the Jets' three remaining restricted free agents.
Thanks, Jack McCoy.
Brian Little is the first up, then we'll do Zach Bogosian, and then we'll do Blake Wheeler. Each of us will play a different role as we go through the negotiations. First up, Ezra, representing Brian Little's agent, Anton Thun. Richard, as Jets general manager, Kevin Cheveldayoff, and myself as
Judge Drudy.
Yeah, as Judge Drudy, as he so cleverly just described me as. Worth noting for Brian Little and Blake Wheeler, the arbitrator is only eligible to give a one-year deal.
Yes.
If Zach Bogosian, if they had agreed beforehand for a two-year deal, that is an option that the arbitrator has available for
them.
No,
not agreed before. The side who's opted into arbitration, which would be
the Jets.
Bogosian, in this case, the Jets have the option of picking 1 or 2 years.
That's right. That's what I'm saying. The Jets have the option of picking 1 or 2 years for Zach Bogosian. One-year deals only for Little and Wheeler. Ezzy, as Brian Little's agent, Anton Thun, the floor is now yours.
Thank you, Judge Drudy. Thank you for having me here. I'm, on behalf of my client, Brian Little, I would like to present the case for Brian Little and what I believe Brian Little is worth. Brian Little is entering his seventh year in the NHL. He's given the Atlanta Thrashers, Winnipeg Jets organization 6 years of service. He was a first-round draft pick that has only spent time in the NHL with one franchise. My client has been the first-line center for the Winnipeg Jets franchise in their first 2 years since returning from Atlanta. And I believe that Brian Little should have been offered a contract in the neighborhood of 4 or 5 years by the Winnipeg Jets, and I'm going to present what I think Brian Little is worth. Last year, let me get my stats here.
Is there anything in the briefcase, or is that crackers?
I think it's crackers.
I had my notes here, but...
But I'm illiterate.
Last year, Brian Little had his highest ever points per game average at .73. He had 7 goals and 25 assists for 32 points in the 2012-2013 season. Last year, my client had his highest ever faceoff percentage at 51.2%. In the previous years, Brian Little averaged 0.62 points per game and 0.63 points per game. 48 points in 2010-2011 and 46 points in 2011-2012. I believe that Brian Little is a huge part of this organization. He's been the first line center for 2 years now, and alongside Andrew Ladd and Blake Wheeler, this has been the best line for the Winnipeg Jets franchise, accumulating the most points of any line on the team and a huge percentage of the offense for this hockey club. I believe that Brian Little should be paid $4.5 million per year.
Wow.
It's a strong argument from Ezzy Ginsberg in his role of Anton Thun, Brian Little's agent. I now turn the floor over to the only one of us who's an actual lawyer.
Michael Rivas.
Richard Pollock as Winnipeg Jets general manager. All right. Kevin Cheveldayoff.
Yeah, the argument is, I'm going to argue against, of course, Brian Little and the claim that he's worth $4.5 million per year.
You're trying to keep the salary as low as possible. Yeah. Ezzy, as Anton Thun, is trying to keep the salary on a one-year deal as high as possible.
I think when you start off with Brian Little and you look at the player, you look at a guy who has played 6 seasons in the National Hockey League and has a total of 99 goals. Okay, he's exceeded 18 goals in his career on 2 occasions. One of those seasons, he played primarily with Ilya Kovalchuk, one of the top players in the National Hockey League. Mm-hmm.
and now the KHL.
He's benefited from playing with players such as Blake Wheeler and Andrew Ladd, and of course the aforementioned Kovalchuk. He hasn't really established himself as a perennial top goal scorer in the National Hockey League, yet if you look at his assist totals, he's exceeded 25 assists only once in his career. So if he's not a goal scorer, and he's not really accumulating a lot of points, assists, then what is he? And that's the question. Look at total points. I mean, what is the package? He's exceeded 50 points once in his whole career in one season. 50 points once. That's it. His stats, you know, simply to me don't indicate that he's a number one center. I mean, number one centers don't get 50 points once. They get 70 points. They get 80 points. To me, we're establishing what he's worth as a number two center and where he is on the pendulum of number two centers. Number one centers, those point totals are simply with the opportunity he's been presented with as a first-line player, getting big minutes in excess of 17, 18, 19 minutes a game. They indicate to me that he's a second-line center and, to be honest, a lower-end second-line center. If you look at overall ranking, he ranked 73rd overall in the NHL last year in terms of goals for centers. So of all centers in the league, that's if you're looking at it in terms of number one centers, there's 30. Number two centers, there's 30. He would then be in the third tier, the third line, quote-unquote, centers for goals, 73rd overall. And then you talk about, okay, so maybe he doesn't put up points. What else can he do? Well, if you look at his physicality, hits, he's 16th on the Jets in hits last season, 16th on the team. They dress 18 skaters a night. The season prior, he was 13th on the team. So he's not a physical player. He's not a big player by any means. He kills penalties. So we talk about killing penalties. Jets penalty kill isn't any good. It's been awful. Maybe he blocks a lot of shots because he kills penalties. In this day and age where shot blocking has become the catchphrase, last year, he was 14th on the team in block shots with 19 in all season and only played a minute and a half on the PK per game.
Can I object?
The year before, he was 20th on the team in block shots. 13 block shots, 20th. Meaning guys who filled in had more block shots than he did, and he played a minute and 30 seconds on the PK again. Then you look at faceoffs. So, you know, he's not really blocking shots. He's not that physical. He's not accumulating a ton of points. How is he, you know, succeeding in the faceoff circle? Well, last year he was in excess of 50%. He won 51.2% of his draws. The years prior, though, below 50%. He's not Jonathan Toews in the faceoff circle. He simply isn't at that skill level. So you look at the penalty kill. The penalty kill isn't great. He's not producing a ton points-wise. What about the power play? Maybe he's a great power play player. Well, he isn't. Last year, 5 power play points. Season prior, 13 power play points. Season prior to that, 10 power play points. So at the end of the day, you're looking at a guy who isn't killing it on the power play, isn't the best penalty killer, isn't accumulating high goal totals, and isn't accumulating really high assist totals. So to me, the best comparable player for Brian Little is another right-handed shooting, maybe a little bit limited offensively, smaller center in Kyle Turris. Kyle Turris is playing behind Jason Spezza in Ottawa. Brian Little would be playing behind Jason Spezza in Ottawa too if he were there. Kyle Turris signed a 5-year deal for $3.5 million cap hit per year. Okay? So, Turris is signing away some of his UFA rights in that deal, which inflates his contract. Okay? You look at Turris's numbers in his fifth season in the National Hockey League. He had 0.25 goals per game. In Little's fifth season in the National Hockey League, he had 0.32 goals per game. Turris had 0.34 assists per game, and Little had 0.29 assists per game. They're both second line, right-handed shooting, somewhat limited offensively, defensemen who are maybe improving their defensive game. And because Turris is signing away UFA years, and we're dealing with a one-year deal here, as an RFA, I believe Brian Little's worth $3.25 million on a one-year deal as arbitration-eligible player for the Jets.
Those are the two arguments that were made by Brian Little's representative, played by Ezra Ginsberg, Jets general manager, played by Kevin Cheveldayoff, Jets general manager Kevin Cheveldayoff, played by Richard Pollock. As my role in the arbitrator, to determine where Brian Little should what amount of money he should get on a one-year contract, because he will be an unrestricted free agent. I've determined, after listening to both arguments, evaluating the briefs that both people submitted.
And they were brief.
Yeah, they were very brief. They were brief briefs, let me tell you. I've determined that Brian Little will be awarded a one-year, $3.5 million contract to play for the Winnipeg Jets, at which time, at the end of that contract, if he does not re-sign with the Winnipeg Jets in the course of the season, he will become an unrestricted free agent. Gentlemen, are your thoughts as Brian Little's representative?
I feel like this is like on those, you know, those shows when they leave the Judge Judy and they interview them. Like, what's that guy, Harvey Levin, interviews the guys outside.
So what do you think about the one-year, $3.5 million ruling?
I hope that's not what actually happens, but it's a good ruling. I like it.
It's fair.
We're not going to call into question, Drew, your ability to adjudicate.
Oh, if it's any consolation, I'm completely corrupt as an adjudicator. Completely corrupt. Doesn't matter. Give me whatever you want. I'll sway your way.
Who's next?
Next up on the mock arbitration list is Winnipeg Jets defenseman Zach Bogosian.
What's my judge name?
Well, inevitably it's going to be Judge Pollock one day down the road, so you might as well just say Judge Pollock now. Let's go to break. When we come back, I get to play Bob Murray, Zach Bogosian's agent, as he gets to play Jets general manager Kevin Cheveldayoff. You're listening to Illegal Curve, Arbitration Edition on TSN 1290.
You're listening to
The Illegal Curve Hockey Show,
the podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
In the NHL arbitration system, there are two separate yet equally important groups: the agents who represent the players and the general managers who represent the team. These are their negotiations.
Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. One mock arbitration down, two mock arbitrations to go. For this one, we're going to be negotiating the contract of Zach Bogosian, Winnipeg Jets defenseman. Yours truly is going to play the role of Bob Murray, Zach Bogosian's agent. Ezra Ginsberg is going to play the role of Kevin Cheveldayoff, and Richard Pollock, Judge Pollock, in all walks of life, is going to be playing the role of the NHL arbitrator.
Richie the Hammer Pollock.
Richie, I'll turn the microphone over to you to get the proceedings underway.
Well, Drew, I appreciate you throwing it right to me, because I'm going to throw it right back to you, as you are the party who brought this arbitration. You player, just to clarify for the listeners, all three players we've mentioned, Wheeler, Bogosian, and Little, we're dealing with Bogosian in this segment, but all three opted for arbitration, meaning that, just so the listeners know, the person who opts for arbitration, whether it be the team or the player, whoever opts for arbitration is the one who starts their argument, which would, of course, be Mr. Bob Murray, and Drew Mandel as Bob Murray, excuse me.
Appreciate you turning the microphone over to me. Good evening or good morning, everybody, and welcome to this arbitration hearing.
Do you want to congratulate the Blackhawks on a great victory and the studio on great hospitality? Or
no,
what?
The NHL asked us not to do that this year. Anyways, I'm pleased to be here to represent my client, Zach Bogosian, in this negotiation with the Winnipeg Jets. I must say that before we begin, I am surprised it has come to this point in time, as when you look at the Winnipeg Jets, there are a number of players that can be described as elite on the roster, and another number of players that can be described as the face of the franchise. Undoubtedly, my client, Zach Bogosian, is one of those faces of the franchise. He's a guy who, by all accounts, and has told me this, enjoys his time in Winnipeg, and he wants to make a long-term commitment to the Winnipeg Jets organization. It's unfortunate that it has come to this point in time where both sides have not been able to reach a negotiation or reach an agreement on a long-term deal, as had been our hope. Winnipeg Jets are a team that has some talent. It's not a team that has an overwhelming amount of talent, and they certainly do not have a top-flight, elite skating defenseman like my client is. When you consider the top skaters in the NHL, my client, Zach Bogosian, is certainly one of those players, and proves it on a night-in, night-out basis when he goes up against the opponent's best competition. If you look at it, in the last 3 years, in the last year this team was the Atlanta Thrashers, he played against the top competition in the NHL, and he was only 19 years old at that time. In his first year in Winnipeg, he played against the fourth quality of competition as the organization got more used to him. And then last year, he proved himself as the Winnipeg Jets' best defenseman as head coach Claude Noel put him out on the ice against the opponent's best players. His ice time last year was 19 minutes of and 23 seconds of even strength ice time. That's the highest he's had as a member of the Winnipeg Jets. It proves that that the faith that head coach Claude Noel has in Zach Bogosian in terms of how often he played the large minutes for the Winnipeg Jets. Last year he played 19 minutes. The 19:23 was on average the highest that player would play for the Jets, notwithstanding Dustin Byfuglien and the games that he played. But of course, we know Byfuglien was injury prone last year. You look at Zach Bogosian, and he is simply put one of the best young defensemen in the NHL. His power play time was the lowest of the last 3 years. Yet, when you extrapolate that over a full NHL season, as we were in the midst of a lockout year last year, his point total was right in line with his career average, proving that there is room for greater offensive performance. Some people might point to his point total as, we can't pay him elite money because he doesn't put up the offensive points. Not the case. It proves last year that he can go ahead and do that. He can go ahead and increase the number of points he's going to play in for the Winnipeg Jets and the number of points he's going to put up for the Winnipeg Jets as a player. Simply put, my client deserves a large salary bump from what he had been making as a member of the Winnipeg Jets on his previous contract. I'm here today to ask for a contract for Zach Bogosian that pays him $5 million per season.
$5 million per season is what Mr. Murray is asking for. Before we go next, just a little clip from Remus here.
You put the bomb on? Who told you to put the bomb on? I didn't tell you to put the bomb on. Why'd you put the bomb on? You haven't even been to see the doctor. If you're going to put a bomb on, let a doctor put a bomb on.
Which one of us is Jackie Childs?
I have to determine that. So I play it in the middle so I can decide at the end who really is Jackie Childs from Seinfeld. Ezra? Or sorry, excuse me, Mr. Shevoldayoff.
Thank you, Justice Pollock, and thank you, Mr. Murray. I wasn't sure if I was ever going to get to present my case. You wouldn't shut up.
So. I think that's uncalled for.
I should have it noted for the record that Drew only took 4 of the 5 allotted minutes.
I'm allowed Absolutely. 5 minutes.
Okay, I'll try to get a little bit serious here. It's tough for me, but on behalf of the Winnipeg Jets, I would like to present my case for what I believe Zach Bogosian is worth for the Winnipeg Jets. Over the last 2 years, Zach Bogosian has completed his contract for us, and he made $2 million during the 2011-2012 season, and during the 2012-2013 season, he made $3 million in the lockout shortened season. Zach Bogosian is a huge part of our future, we believe, but we do not believe Zach Bogosian is quite an elite defenseman. He was drafted in the 2008 draft right after Drew Doughty. We do not believe Drew Doughty and Zach Bogosian are in the same class. Zach Bogosian has never been in the top 30 or top 40 in defenseman scoring. In 2011-2012, Zach Bogosian's best year, he had 30 points. That was 41st among defensemen. And in 2010-2011, his 5 goals tied for 54th in the NHL. To say that Zach Bogosian is an elite defenseman, I think, is a stretch. We believe that Zach Bogosian is a part of our team, and we believe that he is a second-pairing defenseman for our team. Now, Zach Bogosian had the aforementioned injury, the wrist injury, and missed 18 games last year for the Winnipeg Jets. Towards the end of the season, he suffered a upper body injury as the result of a hit, Kyle Okposo. We believe that Zach Bogosian does have a history of injuries and has missed games in prior seasons, and we do believe that that is a concern for our hockey club going forward with the wrist problem and potential concussion problems as well. For Zach Bogosian, he is an offensive defenseman, but he's also a good defensive defenseman. But we do believe that he hasn't quite established himself in the National Hockey League as a number one shutdown defenseman quite yet. We believe that he can become a number one defenseman in the future, but as it stands right now, he is not quite there. If you look at comparables for defensemen that have signed longer-term contracts, we didn't believe that Zach Bogosian should be offered a longer-term contract in the neighborhood of a Kevin Shattenkirk of the St. Louis Blues or Ryan McDonough of the New York Rangers. One of the comparables we would like to bring up is Travis Hamonic, who recently signed with the New York Islanders for 6 years. Was it 6 years?
I think it was eight. That was eight.
Okay, it was eight. We'd like to use that contract as a comparable. We don't believe Zach Bogosian is quite at the level of Travis Hamonic, but we do believe that Zach Bogosian is worth $3.75 million per year.
Hamonic's deal was 7 years, just to elaborate. 7 years, $27 million.
All right.
Is that a gavel?
That's a gavel, Remus? So the submission was for what total? Sorry, Mr. Ginsburg.
Justice Pollock, the fact that you weren't listening to
I was
my
checking
submission
the Hamonic, the Hamonic 8 year comment that your 6 year comment that you made that was in fact incorrect.
Well, yeah, that's true. I apologize for that, my lord. The Winnipeg Jets. People don't know that, and people call it's not your honor in Canada. It's my lord. If you know a little thing about the Canadian legal system, Drew, you're laughing over here. The Winnipeg Jets Hockey Club believes Zach Bogosian is worth $3.75 million per year.
$3.75 million per year, and Bob Murray, or Drew Mandel, as Bob Murray, has asked for $5 million. So taking into account the fact that Zach Bogosian is an elite skating defenseman, as was pointed out, and has played against the other team's best players, which is a significant factor in this decision. Taking also into account the fact that, as Ezra Ginsburg and Kevin Cheveldayoff pointed out, that Zach Bogosian seems to have been limited offensively and may or may not have some injury concerns, I've come to the conclusion that Zach Bogosian ought to... By the way, have you guys declared whether or not... I guess it would be Ezra declaring whether or not he wants a 1 or 2 year deal.
Oh, I should clarify that. We do believe Zach Bogosian... I thought you were just wanting the first year, but... We do believe that Zach Bogosian should be signed to a two-year deal, and in the second year, we do believe his contract should go up to $4.25 million per year in the second year.
It's an interesting
case closed.
It's
no further questions.
Point. So I'm going to make a ruling that Zach Bogosian, because they declare that they want a two-year deal, that's the deal that I'm going to forward. It would be for 2 years at a salary cap hit of $4.25 million.
Objection.
Overruled.
$4.25 million for the 2013-14 season and $4.5 million for the 2014-15 season.
Looks like Ginsburg took that one, Drew.
You're listening to Illegal Curve Mock Arbitration Edition on TSN 1290.
You're listening to
The Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN1290.ca. In the NHL arbitration system, there are two separate yet equally important groups. The agents who represent the players and the general managers who represent the team. These are their negotiations.
Welcome back to The Illegal Curve Hockey Show here on TSN1290. Two mock arbitration hearings down. One mock arbitration hearing to go for this negotiation, the Blake Wheeler negotiation. I get to play the role of Kevin Cheveldayoff against Richard Pollock in his role as Blake Wheeler's agent. Who's Blake Wheeler's agent?
Matt Keeter,
exactly right.
I've had Matt Keeter on the show before.
It slipped my mind as
Come
he...
Come on.
And Justice Ginsburg over here, or as he's now known for the rest of this segment... Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
A lot of people don't know this. Different spelling, I believe, but there is a Ginsburg on the Supreme Court of the United States. You can Google it, Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Yeah, we just said it.
Well, you didn't explain who that was.
I mean, it's not you.
You know what, Drew? First off, Chevy, if you could pass the mic over to me, Chevy, you're going to have your turn, Chevy. Thank you, Justice Ginsburg, presiding over the Supreme Court of Mandel. Today we are
I think I'm going to get hosed.
Today we are here to discuss the contract status and ultimate decision for Blake Wheeler, right wing for the Winnipeg Jets. I would like to welcome Representative Matt Keeter and Kevin Cheveldayoff. We will start first with the agent for Blake Wheeler, Matt Keeter. The floor is yours.
Well, thank you, Justice Ginsburg. I always appreciate your kind words at the beginning of your prolonged intro there. Starting off with Blake Wheeler. Blake Wheeler is a significant part of the Winnipeg Jets franchise. He is the team's number one right winger, and since over the past three seasons, he's been entrusted with playing at least 18 minutes and 30 seconds per game. In 2010-11, he played 18 minutes and 48 seconds per game of on-ice time, total on-ice time. In 2011-12, he played just over 19 minutes a game, and in 2012-13, he played just under 19 minutes a game. So he's been, as I said before, entrusted with some significant minutes against the other team's top players. If you look at point totals, since Blake Wheeler has been acquired by the Atlanta Thrashers / Winnipeg Jets franchise, he has a points per game average of 0.80. So four of every five games, Blake Wheeler is getting a point. He can not only pass, but he can also score. He had 47 assists two seasons ago, and 19 goals last year in only 48 games. He's never in his career scored less than 17 goals in one season. Yet, people refer to him as being quite a good passer, and as I mentioned before, he had 47 assists in the 2011-2012 season. If you look at Blake Wheeler, because you want to compare apples to apples, right? If you look at Blake Wheeler amongst other right wingers, let's look at his goal totals and his assist totals and his point totals. In 2012-13, he had 19 goals. That's sixth overall among all right wingers in the National Hockey League. He had 22 assists last season. That's 12th overall amongst all right wingers in the National Hockey League. Those, of course, total 41 points, which puts him 9th overall in the National Hockey League amongst right wingers' point totals last season. If you think last year was a blip on the radar screen, I beg to differ. 2011-12, he had 17 goals. While that was 47th among right wingers, his assist total of 47 ranked him 5th overall amongst right wingers, and his total points of 64 ranked him 15th overall among right wingers. Blake Wheeler's not only a number one right winger in the National Hockey League, he's an upper echelon right winger in the National Hockey League. Size, he's 6'5", over 200 pounds. He adds a significant size element to a team that does lack size up front. He plays with Brian Little, not the biggest center in the world. He played last year with guys like Alexander Bermistrov on the roster as well. The Jets lack size. He provides that size. And not only does he provide the size, he provides the physicality. 2012-13, he was 6th on the team in hits on the Jets, Winnipeg Jets organization, in hits. And 2011-12, he was 8th on the team in hits. And that includes defensemen. And defensemen are more apt to be hitting than our forwards in most cases. In terms of his place in the community, Blake Wheeler has only said nice things about Winnipeg. He's a Minnesota boy. He's happy to play in Winnipeg. He goes out, he does charity events, he says great things. He's a great ambassador for the city. So when looking at it, I think the best comparable for Blake Wheeler would be another American right winger who's played 6 years in the National Hockey League, and that's Bobby Ryan. Bobby Ryan has an annual cap hit of $5.1 million. He's 26 years old. As I mentioned before, he's accrued 6 years. So Bobby Ryan's making $5.1 million, and he signed his contract when he was an RFA with the Anaheim Ducks. Now he's on the Ottawa Senators. Why don't we go over the point totals for Bobby Ryan as compared to Blake Wheeler over the past two seasons? In 2011-12, Bobby Ryan had 31 goals, 26 assists, and 57 points in 82 games. Blake Wheeler in that same season had 17 goals, 47 assists, and 64 points in 80 games. He played two less games, and he had 7 more points. 2012-13, Bobby Ryan had 11 goals, 19 assists, and 30 points in 46 games. Blake Wheeler had 19 goals, 22 assists, and 41 points in 48 games. Blake Wheeler had 8 more goals than Ryan last year. He had 3 more assists, 11 more points, and he played in only 2 more games. Notwithstanding the fact that Bobby Ryan plays the majority of the past two seasons with the likes of Ryan Getzlaff and Corey Perry or Teemu Selänne, as opposed to Blake Wheeler playing with Brian Little and Andrew Ladd. It's my position that Blake Wheeler is worth a one-year deal at $5 million.
Thank you, Mr. Keeter, and thank you for not going over the allotted time. Now I would like to pass over the mic to Mr. Kevin Cheveldayoff, General Manager of the Winnipeg Jets.
I move for a bad court thingy.
You mean a mistrial?
Yeah. That's why you're the judge and I'm the law-talking guy.
The lawyer.
Right.
I'd like a mistrial because I'm not sure I have a good argument here, but here goes one anyways.
Motion denied.
Thank you, Mr. Keeter, for making your well-versed argument towards your client,
Blake
Wheeler.
Please don't address Mr. Keeter directly.
In my role as general manager, when I'm building a NHL roster, the one thing I'm looking for, above all, is consistency. I want a guy who's going to put in the same effort night in, night out. I want him performing at the highest level 82 games a year. I don't want him at 200% for half the games and invisible for the other half of the games. Too often, in the 2 years that this organization has been in Winnipeg and that I have been general manager of this organization, your client, Blake Wheeler, has disappeared on the ice. Too often there have been games where we needed a top-flight right winger to take the team on his back, and your client was nowhere to be found. It's a problem that rears its ugly heads. In 24 losses that your client played in last season, in the abbreviated 2012-2013 season, in 24 losses, your client accumulated 9 points. That, to me, is not a top-flight NHL player. In wins, I cannot quibble. 32 points. So in games that our team won, he was over a point a game. But in games where our team lost, he was nowhere to be found. It's a significant problem that you consider that to be a top-flight right-wing performance, that he can go invisible for so many nights in a row. He's too streaky. We all remember his first year in Winnipeg when he went 12, 13 games without scoring a goal. That just cannot happen. I need my top flight right winger on a night in, night out basis to be there, to carry the team on his back, much like his line mate, Andrew Ladd, did in a number of games. Speaking of which, quality of line mates. He played with the second best line mates on our team in last year. You want to compare him to a player with similar numbers in P.A. Parento of the Colorado Avalanche. Last year, Blake Wheeler had 41 points and played with a second quality of line mate. P.A. Parento for the Colorado Avalanche, his quality of line mates was 11th, and he also put up 43 points. More points, I might add, than your client did. Your client, while very skilled offensively, is unfortunately a one-dimensional player. He does not bring the same skill level and passion for the game when it's played in their own defensive zone. Minimal impact, if any, in the defensive zone and on the penalty kill. 20 seconds of shorthanded ice time. If he was an all-around player, do you not think, given our penalty-killing struggles last season, I would have been wanting to use your player out there? Simply put, I couldn't. He was of no use to me on the penalty kill.
Strong words.
Playing it up at this point.
Please let Mr. Cheveldayoff finish his argument, Mr. Keeter.
Power play goals. His power play performance. You want to see your elite players having a quote-unquote killer instinct. When your opponent is weakened, when you're playing 5-on-4...
Drew, are you killing somebody in the wild here?
When you're playing 5-on-4...
Planet Earth?
I want to see him at his best. He had 2 power play goals last season. Of his 19 goals, 2 were on the power play. That's simply not good enough. He needs to do better on the power play. In total, he only had 5 assists on the power plays for 7 power play points in all of last season, despite playing over 2.5 minutes per game on the power play.
1 minute warning.
If you go back to the year before, he only had 15 power play points of his 64. 6 power play goals in an entire NHL season is not what I describe as a top line right winger's performance. Accordingly, I would propose that Blake Wheeler receives a one-year contract worth $3.75 million.
Thank you, Mr. Shovel Day Off, for completely ripping one of the best players on the Winnipeg Jets.
It's what you say about arbitration. It's an ugly situation.
You're finished. I have heard my arguments from Mr. Matt Keeter and Winnipeg Jets general manager Kevin Shovel Day Off, and I am prepared to make my ruling. As it relates to Blake Wheeler, first line right winger for the Winnipeg Jets, Mr. Shovel Day Off has proposed a one, it has to be a 1 year deal, by the way, because Blake Wheeler was only 2 years away from UFA. So Mr. Shovel Day Off has proposed $3.7 million, $3.75 million, and Mr. Matt Keeter, much more well dressed, I should say, than myself and Mr. Shovel Day Off, has proposed a $5 million deal, 1 year deal for Mr. Blake Wheeler. My decision for restricted free agent Blake Wheeler is a one-year deal at $4.75 million. I believe that he should be paid as a first-line right winger in the National Hockey League. And that is my ruling. Thank you.
That's it.
Order in the court, and I'm pretty sure the order is fries with a burger.
Yeah, it's guaranteed it's fries with a burger. That's it for Illegal Curve Mock Arbitration Edition.
Can we just go back to mocking each other?
Yeah.
Afterwards, we're just going to go back and mocking each other. I assume that if it goes to arbitration, I assume that they're just, you know, Matt Keeter and Kevin Shovel Day Off will just air this entire segment in its entirety, right?
Yeah, they will.
As far as how not to conclude a mock.
Yeah. One thing that's interesting is that these guys are already leaking the numbers in the Gagne situation. Like, you know, Sam Gagne, you said, wanted 5.5, and the Oilers want 3.5, and Dreger's already reporting
that. Shouldn't that, by the way, not be leaked?
I'm surprised that it's already been leaked. I mean, that's...
That hearing's when? Monday?
I believe it's Monday, because the piece would have been filed by Friday, but shouldn't that information be... I hope that'd be confidential, but... In any event, that's, again, how it goes, right? Then you get the... Maybe you ask for too much, and then your fans start working against you. There's nothing good comes from it.
Yeah. That's really what it boils down to, is that at the end of the day, nothing good comes from arbitration. Let's go to break. When we come back, one final segment. You're listening to The Illegal... on TSN 1290, tsn1290.ca.
You're listening to
The Illegal Curve Hockey Show,
the podcast
on tsn1290.ca.
Let it breathe, Drew.
It's like a fine wine, Drew. Just let it breathe. Let it age. Let it breathe.
This is Jesse and the Rippers. Last night on Jimmy Fallon. For those of you who are... Full House fans or John Stamos fans.
This is actually a really good song.
Number one hit in Japan.
Like in real life?
No, on the show.
On the show.
Oh.
The show being Full House.
The dog Comet.
The best part about this whole thing is at the end, we must finally tell the listeners what happened.
One night only, Jesse and the Rippers reunited last night on Jimmy Fallon. Hadn't seen each other in 20 years. They sounded great, and at the end... Jesse's wife, Rebecca Donaldson, played by Lori Loughlin, came out and gave him a nice kiss.
And Becky.
And Becky.
Bob Saget was in the crowd, too.
Yeah. It was a Full House reunion last night on Jimmy Fallon.
Candace Cameron, DJ, married to Valerie Bure.
That's right. Candace Cameron Bure, actually.
A couple final points to touch on this.
Lori Loughlin.
This week in the world of the NHL.
Any relation to a guest of the show, Matt Loughlin?
That's funny.
I don't think so. What do you think about the Josh Bailey contract with the New York Islanders?
I liked it. You know, I mean, they're paying him a little more for expected future performance, but I think his switch to the, you know, he's drafted as a center. Some thought it was a reach. His switch to the wing, I think, really allows him to focus on, you know, he's got a good wrist shot, he's a really good skater. So I think there's going to be some serious value at the end of that deal, and I've said it on this show a few times, and I'll say it again. The Islanders have a ton of favorable contracts on the books. Down the road, Garceau is putting in yeoman's work now, but down the road, when they go to Brooklyn and they become a little more appealing for free agents, they're going to have a core signed to reasonable deals, get a couple free agents in there, and you better watch for them being a powerhouse.
Yeah, Josh Bailey's a good player. They have a nice core. You know, we were mentioning Travis Hamonic, who, of course, is from Manitoba, and they locked him up for, what did we say it was, 6 years? Seven years?
7 years, 27.
7 years. And you got Tavares there. I mean, The future's looking really bright there. Josh Bailey's been in the – people think he's a little older. He's only 23. He's been in the NHL since he was 18. Put up big numbers, I remember, for Windsor in the OHL. And he's finally coming into his own. And the Islanders, when they were in Winnipeg last year, they gave us a run for our money.
Mm-hmm. Well, they made
and
the
that's
playoffs.
That's a team that's only going to get better, in my opinion.
I should mention that this segment is brought to you by Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club. While Rumors is temporarily closed for some renovations, they do expect to reopen in early August, just in time for Steve-O from Jackass to be at Rumors. He's at Rumors August 14th to 18th. Very limited tickets are available. You can still give Rumors a call, still book your Christmas parties, still book your birthday parties, 204-488-4520, or go to the website rumorscomedyclub.com. All the information is available there, and they'll be up and running hopefully in the next couple weeks or so. We're doing some renovations there to get it back up to tip-top shape, as it were. A couple other moves from around the NHL this week. Rob Blake, new assistant general manager in Los Angeles. Your thoughts on that one?
You know, Drew, Rob Blake's always been a pretty polished guy. A player who picked his spots physically, had a great shot, and I think he was cerebral in terms of the way he played the game, and I think he presents really well too, right? Rob Blake is, you know, he's a sharp-dressed guy, speaks pretty well, was always somebody go-to guy in the dressing room for media guys, so I don't think he'll shy away from that at all. I think what the LA is doing here is replacing Ron Hextall. We'll probably touch on that in a second.
But the next one.
Yeah, but the point is that, you know, they're replacing a former player with a former player. Dean Lombardi's the lawyer. They have a really interesting staff in the way they've set everything up, and I think they want to have that same perspective. So what LA is doing is they're saying, okay, we lost Ron Hextall's perspective, and Ron Hextall has evolved into certainly a GM candidate down the road. I think his name, Jason Botterill, some other names are going to be, Paul Fenton, are going to be names you hear about all the time. But they've replaced that viewpoint of former player with another cerebral former player in Rob Blake. So I like it.
Yeah, and he was, for those who don't know, he was working with Shanny in the Department of Player Safety before.
That would be Brendan Shanahan.
Yep. And he won the Norris with LA, and then he went to Cali and got the cup. But
that would be Colorado.
Yep. And, you know, yeah, I guess I'm using a lot of little nicknames and stuff here, but it's a good hire. And Ron Hextall, of course, you know, had the history with the Flyers before. He was working in management. I believe he was director of player personnel for the Flyers before he went to LA and joined Lombardi as his assistant GM. Mm-hmm. And Lombardi, I believe, was also with the Flyers at one point, was he not?
I think you're right about that, actually. Yeah, he was San Jose, he was in Philly.
In Philly, right. So,
Look at all the ties. Carter, Richards, they brought over Gagne, but John Stevens.
They just brought in Daniel Carcillo as well into Los Angeles.
So there's definitely some, you know, connections there. And, you know, Rob Blake is now going to get his chance to move into a management role. It's good for him. Richie mentioned he is polished. You know, I believe he just became eligible for the Hall of Fame. He wasn't inducted this past year, but he'll be inducted. I believe Rob Blake should be a Hall of Fame defenseman.
I agree with that.
You know, he was on the Canadian Olympic team and all that.
Top defenseman, 98, if you recall.
Yeah, physical guy, an offensive guy. But, you know, that's a good hire. And, you know, it's good for Ron Hextall as well, because you have to think that, you know, he's looking at an opportunity possibly to be Paul Holmgren's successor.
Right.
It's possible. Paul Holmgren, you know, might down the road decide that, you know, he's not long for the job, or they might replace him. You know, him and Clark have been there with Ed Snyder forever. So obviously Ron Hextall decided that, you know, that was a time to make the switch. You know, good for him.
Our buddy Anthony Sanfilippo reporting that the Flyers, and he's going to know this because he works for the team, the Flyers just signed Sean Couturier to a 2-year deal, an annual cap hit of $1.75 million.
Yeah, bridge deal.
Yeah, it's a favorable deal for the team. He can be better than he was last year, and they get him off an off-season, right? So
yeah, and he had no leverage or anything.
He'll always be linked as the guy that was taken right after Mark Scheifele in 2011.
Right after. I think it was eight or nine, right?
Yeah.
That was a pick they had in the Jeff Carter trade. So Couturier was only 2 years into his deal, is he not?
Yeah, so they extended him. I mean, I'd have to see. It's for the 14-15 and 15-16 seasons.
Why would he sign that now?
It's a little odd that he would sign that, because he would only be 2 years in. Because, I mean, Scheifele was only 2 years. Is only 2 years in, so they're drafted in the same draft class.
I mean, I don't know if I'm more surprised about that deal, unless there's some other thing I'm not thinking of here. Why would Couturier, after a terrible season, sign an extension after his entry level, even though he has no arbitration rights? He should probably be able to get more money. The other contract, I don't know if we're going to get into now, but like, is Carl Alsner going to fire his agent?
Go ahead.
Like, what was that deal? 2.8 a year? He's one of the better defensive shutdown defensemen in the National Hockey League, entering his prime years. And you just sign him to, 2.8 for 4 years? What? Why? Kidding me? I just don't get that. I mean, if you recall correctly, too, I'm going to pull up the former deal, because when he signed the former deal, people were like, whoa, you know, what's the catch there? That's not much money. And I know he's not an offensively gifted guy. He's 24 years old. His last deal was 1.285 a year after his entry level. And this one is 2.8 for Carl Alsner? I don't know what. George McPhee has taken his agent to the cleaners on two occasions.
It's certainly a little bit of a bizarre one. Hextall back with the Flyers. This good.
You know what, Drew? It's going to sound odd, but Hextall, with his vicious temper as a player, I think might provide a little bit of calm and a steady influence to a Flyers team that seems to have an ever-changing vision for their roster. And I say that because while Dean Lombardi's got a temper of his own that can probably rival Ron Hextall if you talk to certain people, that team was patient. And I don't think the Flyers are that patient. So I think he'll help, and I think he's eventually going to replace, or not necessarily replace, Holmgren. If Holmgren retires in the next couple of years, he'll replace him, I think. If not, I think he'll probably venture somewhere else as a GM.
I'd agree with that as well.
Remus, you're on the phone here. You can't do the cue for cheers and jeers.
Yeah.
Who's he talking to?
I'm organizing. There's a live cut-in. Relax.
Oh.
Yeah, I think is that Troy?
Have you guys seen the commercial of Troy bobbing his head?
Cheers. Yeah. Congratulations.
He's brilliant.
He's a good guy.
And cheers.
No, not good enough.
He's a bad boy.
I never seen something stinks like this.
Surprisingly not good.
Richard Pollock.
Well, you know, I'm going to cheer. It came through right now, so I'm actually going to cheer Zach Redmond for getting his contract. And I think from the point he was at last year in Carolina to the point he's at now, to have an NHL contract, two-way or not two-way, I don't think he really cares. I think it's a great story, a great testament to the Jets training staff, as has been mentioned before. So I think he can finally put that chapter, his life, behind him. He can focus on being a player now, and he's got the security of the contract. And I think the Jets probably have plans for him in the future, maybe not this coming year, but after that, and another year in St. John's to establish himself as a number one defenseman down there, probably do wonders for his career.
Ezzy?
I'm going to cheer Mike Chiasson. He's Steve Chiasson's son. Steve Chiasson obviously was a defenseman. He passed away tragically in 1999, I believe it was, while playing for the Carolina Hurricanes. So Jim Rutherford invited Mike Chiasson to Carolina Hurricanes camp. He's playing for the University of Michigan. He's 22. I believe he wasn't drafted, but you know, he invited him to camp. And it's a nice story because Chiasson is really well-respected and has left a legacy there and all that. So it's really nice to see him getting an opportunity, and hopefully he'll make it to the NHL. I think it would be a nice story.
I'll wrap up cheers and jeers. I'm jeering new Maple Leaf sports and entertainment boss Tim Lewicki.
You and all of Toronto.
Yeah, me and all of Toronto. Look, I understand his logic about wanting to look forward and wanting to be confident about the team, but you don't have to do that and get rid of your legacy at the same time. He says, this is his quote, "I don't want the players walking in the hallways of the Air Canada Center and seeing pictures from 1962. Get rid of those pictures and tell them this is your legacy." Well, the Montreal Canadiens managed to look back on their legacy and honor their history and do it better than any other team in the NHL. And the Leafs should probably do that as opposed to trying to trash their old legacy while at the same time as building their new one.
Yeah,
so he gets my jeer.
Yeah, he's not... He's not being very well accepted by the Toronto fan base. And Drew, to your point, I understand. I know we got to go up against it, but I understand the idea of not honoring all those 80s and 90s teams that weren't even that good. Mm-hmm. But the teams that won and sacrificed, and that's the history, you honor the history. I agree with you.
Exactly right. That's it for the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on this Saturday. First of all, our apologies to Blake Wheeler's agent, Brian Little's agent, and Zach Bogosian's agent, and Kevin Cheveldayoff for that mock arbitration hearing. Hopefully you enjoyed it as much as we enjoyed bringing it to you. A big thank you to our sponsors, Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, and the Certified General Accountants Association of Manitoba. In case you missed any of this program, it will be available for download on tsn1290.ca, on iTunes, and on legalcurve.com. You can follow us on Twitter at legalcurve, facebook.com/legalcurve, and our website is www.illegalcurve.com. For Richard Pollock and Ezra Ginsberg, for producer Michael Remus, I'm your host, Drew Mindell. If it's Saturday, it's the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
You've been listening to
the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast.
Catch the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live Saturdays on TSN 1290 and TSN 1290.ca.